Instead of a roll call this morning, let's just go around the table, introduce ourselves for the record.
Jessica Greenway.
Dave Asher.
Penny Sweet.
Doreen Marchioni.
Amy Wallen.
Bob Sternoff.
Dave Ramsey.
Bob Murray.
Bill Kenny.
Robin Jenkinson.
Cool. Purpose of this meeting this morning is to discuss the city manager recruitment process. So at this time, I'm going to turn the meeting over to Bob of Bob Murray and Associates, and which is the search team, which is leading this process for us. And he's going to sum up all of the information that's been gathered from the town meeting last night and from the individual interviews here within the city.
Thank you. What I'd like to do today is to discuss with a particular focus on what I've heard from the council in terms of the candidate you're looking for. I had an opportunity to talk also to all the department heads in the city. Yesterday afternoon, I had an opportunity with Bill to visit with representatives of all of organized labor, police, fire, AFSCME, Teamsters. Last night, I attended the meeting where the public was provided an opportunity to provide input, or given an opportunity to provide input, and all 13 people did, out of the future 88 or 83,000 folks that live in the community. It was very much like most community meetings, which I attend on behalf of city councils. I think you should have announced that you were asking for people to comment on the profile of the city manager that was going to come to town and raise taxes twofold. Everyone would have been there. So, but we didn't. The more intelligent side of things prevailed. So it was very typical. I'd also like to spend a bit of time about process, and certainly we'll ask for Robin's help in that regard. And have you heard back from the person we're talking to?
I need to touch that. I have not.
Okay. There's some question with respect to the open meeting law as to a certain point in the process whether or not you can use letters or numbers to identify candidates versus names. And I'm getting the cart before the horse, but that is an issue that will later be something you'll want to discuss. Let me start out about briefly talking about the issues that I think actually showed a significant level of commonality among all the groups I talked to. Certainly there were different perspectives, and I'm looking for my note right now. I had this all organized. There we are. The issues that were most often talked about were, first, I think the annexation. That was on everybody's list of opportunities and challenges, I think. And the manner in which the city manages the annexation, deals with the financial aspect of the annexation, provides services there. Certainly there were a variety of views expressed over the election, and will there be an impact on current residents versus future residents, all of those things. So that's the tide for first, along with the financial and fiscal health of the city, and in large part, of course, that's tied to the economy and where that is and where that's going to head. So the financial health and integrity and future of the city was equally important to that of the annexation. Of course, they're inextricably tied. The other issues that were mentioned, of course, once you identify the economy and the annexation, the next thing that seems to flow from that is the whole notion of economic development. And I think throughout the conversations, there was a recognition of the value and the need for economic development. I think the devil will be in the details. How that occurs and where it's pursued, certainly the area most mentioned by folks was Totem Lake and what can be done there. And it seems to be the area that most people agree on what should occur, and that the retail commercial growth in the city, that it's an opportune place. I think there's a great deal of concern about the downtown as well. I think there are certainly a variety of views about what can occur downtown. And the good news is the council will, over time, certainly continue to get to sort all of that out. But I think in many of the communities in which I work, people would give their eye tooth to have a downtown like you have now, with its vibrancy and what it does right now. So, I mean, the good news is you've got a great downtown. The better news is there's a lot of desire here to improve upon that. I think the other thing that's certainly important to folks are the neighborhoods and their involvement in policy, preserving the neighborhoods, strengthening the neighborhoods, them being a part of, you know, the governance of the city. And certainly they are, but I think there's a sensitivity to the neighborhoods. And then all of that certainly in the context of future growth, how that occurs, traffic, transportation, all of those issues. So those were the things that people most often mentioned to me, and I think they were echoed by everybody. And each, of course, each group has a little slightly different take on things, but those will be the things, I think, on your plate for the next several years. So what kind of person are you looking for as a city manager? What did people tell me? Well, clearly, Dave, one thing I don't know is, does a city have a municipal pool, a swimming pool?
We have an outdoor pool, yes.
You do?
Yes.
Well, then I suggest we have a candidate see if they can walk across the pool, because that's clearly what folks are looking for. I mean, this person's going to have to build a walk on water. There's no doubt about it. But I think fundamental to the search is people are looking for a very capable leader who's a skilled manager, a person that can set. You know, I heard people talk about vision, but I think the vision people talk about is the vision in an organizational context, not the vision that is really the role of the council in terms of overall policy and future of the community, but in an organizational sense. So it's someone that can set clear expectations for the city, for the organization, for its staff, who can empower them to get their job and at the same time hold them accountable. And there is a discussion about being able to motivate staff as well. And I think, you know, I have a view on motivation, and that is I can't motivate anybody. I can create an environment and give people the tools to allow them to be successful and that they are self-motivated then in that environment. But I think it's a manager who can create that environment that you have a high-performing, achieving organization. It's a person who will come to the organization with fresh eyes, be able to report to you in terms of an overall assessment of the organization, its strengths and its weaknesses, and where, in effect, changes might be made. And that won't be the first day they come or the first month, but over a period of time. It's somebody that brings a level of energy and enthusiasm to the job. I mean, several people were able to make me quite aware that Kirkland has its challenges. It's not, you know, this is not a job for somebody to phone in, so to speak. And so a person that's energized and healthy, capable of doing the job. I had people tell me over and over again, highly personable, great interpersonal skills, the ability to relate to residents, staff, the council. You know, one of the things people always mentioned was Dave never is too busy to take a moment to say hello to anybody on staff at any level of staff, and certainly the employees value that tremendously. It's a person who is sensitive to and works effectively in a very engaged community. And I think that gets to, you know, there's some discussion last night about people who really talked about the city manager in terms of what they'd like the council to see happen. and somehow the manager could make those things happen. And the reality is it's a person that's sensitive to the to engagement in the community and visible and can be engaged by the community, but still is really responsible for running the organization, but is sensitive to those things. So it's kind of works with you in a way as your partner, but is aware of the community issues. It, again, it's not the manager who ought to define the vision or the outcome, but rather work with you to reach those things. Apolitical, yet politically astute. Transparent, is able to, well, treats all council members equally, provides an equal level of information to all council members. Transparent, no secrets, can tell the city council no. You know, I heard that most often from employees and from others, not too often from the city council. But I think it's a sense is, you know, hey, city council, you know, this is not where you ought to be, or, you know, you as an individual can't direct the public works director. Things. I think it's, you know, staff always wants a champion, somebody that's going to work, represent them. And so it kind of came in that context. Came from the community, too, I think, a little bit. For those of you that were there, I think the community kind of sees this, the manager somehow protecting everybody from themselves. I don't know. But if you, I think you get a sense of what I mean. I don't know how I put that in the brochure. Manager dominates city council, tells them no at every turn of the road. No, I won't write that, I promise. But, so there's a little bit. Ethical, highest level of integrity. Hopefully in this the profession of city management, that goes without saying. It's somebody that will earn the respect and trust of the city council, of the staff, and of the community, and someone with excellent communication skills. Importantly, a good listener, not just somebody that speaks well, but somebody that listens well, hires good staff, good people. So what kind of skill set did people talk about? Well, they talked the skill set related directly to the issues, challenges, and opportunities. You know, not an accountant or your CFO, but a person that understands finance, has a big picture, anticipatory is a word, foresight about finance. I don't know that anyone could have predicted the economic downturn, but I think people are sensitive to what's certainly occurred, and that's an important part of the role of a manager. Understands issues about growth, annexation, traffic, transportation, labor relations, the unions. Unions were very clear with me, as would anybody be. Maybe not look for people right away from right-to-work states. Makes a little sense. I mean, certainly they want somebody that they can work with effectively that understands labor relations in the context of the strength of organized labor here in Washington. Knowledge of neighborhood improvement skills. So it's kind of, it's a city manager who is a generalist, understands all those areas. You look for the expertise in each of those areas, of course, to the department heads. And so it's not, it's, you know, it's not a jack of all trades, but certainly an experienced, skilled person who understands all of those areas. And that talks a bit about the background and experience of candidates. I think most people are looking for an experienced city manager or a person who is experienced as an assistant with similar issues that you face, with a downtown that's doing well, could do better, with an area with economic development opportunities. So I think it's somebody with that. I mean, the kind of the no-brainer stuff is a bachelor's degree, a master's degree, higher education would be preferred. And I think it's, you know, those are kind of just arrows in the quiver, so to speak. Doesn't mean they're going to be a good city manager, but they passed the test, so to speak, in most of those areas. So I think, you know, your ideal candidate has all of those things, brings all of those to the table. You know, the one notable exception last night was a gentleman who wanted somebody from the private sector who would come in here and ensure, as you grew, no additional people were hired because public employees were paid way too much and their benefits were way too high. And
that
wanted an ad in The Economist. And after the meeting, I told him, if you're really interested in the private sector, the journals, the Wall Street Journal's where you advertise. And if you can get someone that's willing to take a $1 million pay cut or $500,000 pay cut that from the private sector that's run a similarly sized organization, that'd be great. But I don't think that's going to happen. And I don't think most people from the private sector would invite the public to their board meetings to help them make business decisions. So I understand the what he's talking about in that. And in that context, here's a person concerned about the financial operations of the city and a perception that if you simply did it like a business, it would be much more efficient. And I think that the challenge is, you know, government's not designed to be efficient. Organizations can be, but a government's a pretty messy way to make decisions. And you let everybody participate? My God, why would you do that if you want to? If you want a fast, on-point decision made quickly, this, you know, public policies, that's not the way it works. I'm preaching to the choir, so I apologize. But so we talked about those things. We briefly touched on salary. What my recommendation is with regard to the announcements we make is that you indicate that the salary is open depending on qualifications. That gives you the flexibility to look at a range of candidates. Doesn't mean you're going to pay more than your current manager. You may pay less, but at least you then have a chance to look at the talent and decide, is X worth incrementally more or less than might be the present case? And I think that seemed to be the sense of the council. In terms of the other thing that's fairly typical with appointment of a city manager is an employment agreement or contract. Dave currently has one. I've seen a copy of it. It's pretty typical. The severance provision in that is 6 months. We typically see severances range between 6 months at the bottom end and a year at the high end. So you can expect to see people within that range. Most common right now is about 9 months. But again, I wouldn't suggest to you decide today that it's 7.5 months or 6 or 9, but rather how does it look compared in the context of the kind of person you get and the compensation and other factors. You know, what makes a good deal for the people involved? Timing. I think you need to have a search open for about 60 days from today. So we're looking at, you know, around March 27th or 28th, whatever day that is on the calendar. Then in terms of my work, it's 3 to 4 weeks to screen resumes, to conduct screening interviews, personal interviews, and then to be prepared to make a recommendation to the council. And I'm going to kind of give you an overview from there, and here's where the details, where the devil lies is in the details of this process. I plan to recommend 5 to 7 people for your consideration. That discussion can occur in executive session, but it's kind of, and we can get into the details. Following that, you would invite those 5 to 7 people to an interview with the city council. Historically, the city at that point in processes for department heads has involved department heads in talking to candidates. So that's certainly an option that you can consider. So, and in effect, what would happen is you'd interview let's assume it's 6 people for a moment. The staff could interview 6 people, and they could give you their observations regarding the strengths and weaknesses of the candidates. and not as they compare, but individually. There's this whole issue of your deliberations. You can evaluate the candidate's qualifications, but you can't compare them in executive session. In effect, any comparison or rating or evaluation of candidates has to occur in public session. The issue we're trying to resolve right now is whether, when you do that in public, can the candidates be identified as A, B, C, D, or Mr. or by their names? And there's some indication that that may or may not be possible. Your attorney is asking the Attorney General's office about that.
Exactly right. And as Bob indicated, under the executive session exception under which the council would be operating, you have the ability to interview the candidates in the executive session if you choose. You have the ability to evaluate the qualifications. That's the language in the statute. But what case law has made clear is that you cannot, in executive session, winnow that list or pick the two finalists that you then would like to have further interviews. So the question that was posed was, could an artificial identifier for, say, the top six be used so that the council in the public session could talk about these relative strengths of these individuals without identifying them at a point when they might not want their employers to know? And so we've just posed that question to the ombudsman for the Attorney General's office, and as soon as we hear a response, I'll let Bob know and we'll let the council know.
They've done that before at the presidential search at the University of Washington. So yeah, it's A, B, C, or 1, 2, 3, whatever label you want to put on.
I certainly hope that that's what can occur, because I think if that's not possible, and that means then that the names of everyone you interview might be released under a different scenario, and that will discourage some people from becoming candidates, because they have a great job now and a good relationship with their city council. They don't want to tell them they're asking for a divorce.
Now, that's a different question. I think that question specifically needs to be asked.
Right.
Because the release of the names after the search may or may not be something that's covered by public disclosure.
I'll take a look at it. I think there's an exemption that's clear for applicants for public employment.
So you somehow you've arrived at the top two or three candidates, and it would be very typical then to interview them a second time, because the first interview is usually pretty formal and you get a good sense of who the top folks are, but not who the top person is. Again, given past practice here, representatives of all your labor units have interviewed department heads or have interviewed the department heads of the affected department. So if you're hiring a police chief, usually the guild is involved, and maybe the management unit the same. And they asked that they be involved yesterday. And I think the involvement of folks best occurs when you're down to the three. I was surprised last night that someone from the community didn't ask that they get to interview candidates or that there be some public forum. My suggestion would be, if the council believes that it's appropriate to get comment from folks in the community, that you might, that one approach might be for each of you to appoint a representative or an individual who you think represents appropriate groups in the community or interests, and those folks could then meet with the top three candidates. Again, the charge those people would be given would not be to rank the top two or three candidates, but rather to identify for the council what you believe, what they believe to be the strengths and weaknesses of each of the candidates. That information be made available to you prior to your interviews with those people on a second round, so you kind of have that as information upon which to base questions you might ask. Like someone might say, you know, we're not certain that this person has effectively managed relationships with neighborhoods. So in an interview, you might want to say, tell us about your relationships, what the city you've worked with or worked for, or other organizations you've worked for have done with respect to neighborhood relations. You might, my sense is that when you get down to the top three and involve that number of people, that the names are going to be out there. And I think candidates will be okay if they know they're one of two or three versus six, seven, or eight. So that's what I would recommend, or those are my comments regarding the profile and the process. I think not today, certainly, but in the future, the council needs to decide. The first decision, I think there's been a preference. Well, I don't know if there's been a, you know, are you going to involve a department heads with the larger group, five, six, or seven, and have them provide input regarding the strengths and weaknesses? Or are you going to have them along with maybe organized labor and somebody from the community, or any or all or none with the top three candidates?
I really like the idea of identifying a pool of citizens, you know, by the council. I think it's also important that department heads do have the opportunity to interview, and that labor, I mean, the more hands-on, as far as I'm concerned, the better it is, as long as it's an efficient process, or as efficient as we can make it. Is your suggestion, though, that this happen in larger group sessions, or the interviews by, say, department heads, the community folks, the labor folks, happen in individual sessions?
Well, I mean, there's pros and cons to both. Okay, the perspective of each of those groups you've talked about is different. Organized labor is looking for one thing, community people another, and department heads yet another. So I've often seen the suggestion that those groups be mixed up so they hear the perspective of the questions others ask, or that they be distinct groups themselves. I certainly don't think you want, I think you want to limit the number of people involved in the first round of interviews because of the need for confidentiality. And, you know, once you're down to three, that's not, that, you know, you just can't expect that to continue. So, department heads are accustomed here, or at least when the last search was done, they interviewed the top five, six, or seven. So there's an expectation there. With the community has not expressed, did not, I was surprised. Last night didn't say we ought to be talking to these folks. But should you choose to do that again, I would limit it to seven or eight, well, seven people. Each name one of you people put forward. And then in terms of organized labor, just as long as you have a referee there with them, we're okay. You know, a moderator, they're going to do a good job. But I would do that with the three candidates.
We need to be very clear by involving various groups as to what their role is, that they don't have a veto, that they don't, you know, so as long as we clearly establish up front, you know, that this is input, because you could get one comes back and says, oh, no, we didn't like him, so they're not going to hire him. We don't want to give anyone that leverage.
Okay. Dave's point is really well taken, its input. As Bob said during the process that I participated in, there were, I think, five or six of us who came in on a Saturday, and the council was here and the department heads were here, and we had a series of, I think, three, each candidate had a series of three interviews during the day. It was really well done. I think anything beyond about three interviews that the candidates begin to turn into mush after a while. And so, and then I believe the department heads all provided input to the council and then they left and then their role was done. So I think Dave's point is exactly right, that in that spirit, I know speaking with the directors, they really want to give council their thoughts that they really value and are really anxious about it, and so I think they really would appreciate it, but they understand their role is just input.
I've been involved in a couple department head interviews, and that's what they've done. They've mixed everybody up. We've had the public, we've had labor, and we've had other department heads in there, and I think it works really well. I think everybody, you know, gets a sense of what's going on, and I think Dave's right. This is from the public. This is input.
Yeah, I would encourage, you know, I can facilitate any or all of those sessions, and clearly when I've done that in the past, it's been the council really appreciates your participation and your assistance in what's a very, very important decision. And they're going to ask that you comment on the strengths and weaknesses of candidates, but importantly, refrain from ranking the candidates because, in fact, that's their job. And people are comfortable with it. They accept that. Now, they're going to report back to you, and somebody's going to say, well, I really like so-and-so, and the rest of them are duds. But at least they understand that it's the council's decision when you frame it in that context. Yes?
Does it work to have the department heads and the representatives of labor groups be part of the same interview group?
It can. You know, the difficulty, the challenge I see in that regard is the timing, when they are involved. Because the unions are going to call their counterpart in the organization where the candidate's from. And if you do it with six or seven people, there is no confidentiality at that point. So that's why I think, you know, the community or the unions ought to be the top three. And I personally would recommend that be with the department heads after the council's named it. But you don't, that's not the history here. Okay, so I want to respect that as well. You know, the community is going to swear that they're going to keep it secret. And if I'm the community panel, my sister-in-law's son lives in Timbuktu. And I know that I can talk to him in total confidence about the city manager from Timbuktu. And that's true, because she will only talk to her best friend, who will then only talk to his best friend. And the next person they call are the seven council members there. So my concern about confidentiality is for the seven or eight versus the two or three. And how you structure that, I mean, the more people you involve, the more likely it is the names will get out. The fewer people you involve, the less likely. And so, in terms of department heads talking to candidates, I think if you do that, it ought to be all the department heads. You know, if they do it early on, all in one group, one interview, so they all see and hear the same thing. Same with the council. You know, some councils I've worked for say, well, we all want to talk to them individually, Bob. Well, then they get seven different answers to six, seven questions. You all want to hear, you know, you don't want anybody pandering to what they think one council member may or may not want. So I think the key decisions in terms of process are who and when people are involved. First round of interviews, second round of interviews. But I also think, you know, that's not until April. So you don't have to make a decision today. You can give it some consideration. You can talk to your staff. You can talk to whomever you choose. It's just I don't think, you know, the first time people come to town, my preference is the fewer the better. But I also understand that you've got a history of involving department heads, and I want to respect that as well. So it's whatever you choose to do.
One thing I didn't hear in your summary that is a particular aspect that I'm looking for is, given what we have coming up in the next decade or so, is someone that has experience in performance management and in being able to lay out the case for here's what we've got, here's what we're doing with it, because we're going to need to be very transparent on with the fiscal stresses that we're going to have as to the sources and uses of resources and what we're doing with it. What's the results that we're achieving with the investments that that the community's making? There are folks that are better at this than others, and that to me is something very important as to someone that's got experience in that area.
I'd maybe approach it a little bit differently. I'd approach it someone who understands that, but's also got the capability of recognizing when they need to hire somebody that's got that strength and what the team is. I would rather do that than have somebody right out of the box. I do think it's important that the person understands that, but that's not a quality that I would make a deal breaker on.
Well, I given the comments, I think you can talk about that as something that's desirable. And the key becomes when we get down to the seven, how do they measure against all of these criteria?
So, Bob, you're seeing that this is going to come to us about the end of April or early May, so that if we as individual council members want to make sure we're part of this process, we shouldn't be planning our vacations or, you know, we should want to be around through that time.
Yeah, you know what I can do is I will go back to the office and put together a schedule based on a closing date and then work with your staff, with Bill, and we could actually even come up with interview days so that you can put them on your calendar. I think the first round of interviews ought to be a Friday or a Saturday. I know many of you have other commitments. And it's easy for somebody to slip out of town, take a long weekend to drive to their mom's house or whatever, under the cover of darkness and great secrecy. And then maybe a week or two later have the follow-up interviews. And then in the interim, we can decide who and how and when people are involved.
Some of these candidates will likely be even out of state.
Mm-hmm.
When we're calling in people, the first six or seven, and then the last three, who may have travel expenses, do they typically pay their own expenses, or do we pay them?
You pay them.
So that is really something to keep in mind.
Yeah. Well, I can assure you.
No, you just better be aware of that, because that could get pricey.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we tell candidates if you're flying, it's in baggage. Cheapest fare you can get. And I'm not going to start recruiting candidates from New Jersey first. We'll focus on the West first, because I think there are dramatic differences in the fashion in which cities are managed or not managed in different regions in the country. The West shares the most in common, with some notable exceptions. You know, it's funny. Arizona has probably got some of the best managers in the country because of the history of the Phoenix Management Internship Program and of kind of growing just this cadre of people. Another place is around KU, Olathe, and parts of Kansas because of the university there, and the West in general. So, you know, you might say, you know, environmental law in Washington is of great importance. There is no environmental law. There's no, you know, there's no Shoreline Management Act in Phoenix or Arizona. There is no, you know, requirement for an EIS. But there are, you know, a great manager in Arizona can be a great manager in Washington, and then rely upon your attorney and other experts on staff for the technical details. So, you know, you really want a leader and a manager, not a subject matter expert. Now, you know, somebody from Washington that already knows all of those things, maybe in the end has a leg up over somebody from, you know, Arizona or California or whatever. But, you know, if you look at California, Oregon, and Washington, all very, very similar in terms of the way in which they address land use and growth. And 90% of the issues that are bullets come in that area, as you guys know. So, Florida has a concurrency law that says you can't do growth unless you can demonstrate that you have the services in place to serve the growth. So they just ignore it. I'm just being facetious. But it's different in every area, of course.
So you're going to come up with a schedule?
Yes. And we've got a draft of the brochure started that has the issues in the community and the technical side. I'm going to fill it in with our discussion this morning. We'll get you a draft of that. I have no pride of authorship, but we need to have a clearinghouse of somewhat if there are going to be a lot of changes, because what ends up happening is one person makes, which is fine, an editorial comment about this paragraph, but your colleague makes another comment, and we would spend the 3 months the search is open doing that. So unless there's a glaring error. So
I was just sending them to Bill, and then he will work with Bob.
Well, we'll get that out to you next week. That's my homework this weekend.
Sounds good. Just out of curiosity, because you've been hired to do the search, are you getting a lot of inquiries about the job?
Not a lot at this point, but we have received inquiries already, which is good. I mean, you know, I think when Dave was selected, we probably had 40 or 50 candidates. I don't recall. Several of the searches I'm doing right now, city manager searches, have had a minimum of 70 to 120 candidates. And at least in some cases, those are communities which I am just stunned would have that level of interest. So I think there are a lot of people out there looking for city managers' positions. And quite frankly, if you get 250 resumes, it's not a measure of success at all. It's, are there six or seven really good folks among those? And that's what we're really focused on.
I was glad to hear when you mentioned that you aren't exclusively limiting this to current city managers, because I think given the tasks that we have before us, somebody that's hungry, that has a good track record, we may need somebody with a whole heck of a lot of energy for a very long haul, because we have some just major things to go from capital to every service that we've got is a major thing. So keeping that, I think, opens where you can take an assistant city manager and let them compete, I think is worthwhile.
You know, I think in this day and age, almost every one of my clients doesn't want people that will tilt windmills. They want people that will run right smack dab into them. This is a very unique time and for local government. And, you know, as bad as the issue, not as bad, but as significant as the issues are you face, you know, I'm working for a city that built a power plant that's only operating at about 78% efficiency and entered into long-term contracts for gas to run that plant that are twice the cost of where the market is right now. And they can't sell the excess power they have they have to sell it at less than half of what they're buying it for. And so, I mean, not only is their property tax down, their sales tax down, but now they've got this albatross around their neck that they have to deal with for the next several years. I mean, and they're aware of it, and the community's aware of it. It's not a secret. I'm not talking out of school. So be glad that you didn't build a power plant over the last 10 years.
You know? Parking garage.
Any number of things. So I know the problems are significant here, the challenges are significant, but, you know, Kirkland has got a lot that's going for it. I mean, if people would give their left arm to have your downtown and the extraordinary quality of life here. So, you know, that's what I'm going to talk to people about. plus, you know, have this bag of skills that helps work on the issues.
The comment about looking beyond just city manager, I think, is a really good one. In my wanderings around the country, there's some incredible talent at the assistant city manager level. And I'm just making examples, but you wander around Phoenix or San Jose or some of those places, man, there's a lot of people that really like where they are because they're challenged by the assignments they have. But yet, I think Bob described, curriculum is a place they said, well, you know, I really like where I am, but I can see great challenges here. So I think we ought to be open, or you ought to be open to that.
And the view from the city manager's office is the best in the country.
Are we about wrapped up then?
Yep.
Okay. Then.
So I owe you two things, a draft brochure and a recruitment schedule. And I really look forward to working with you.
Candidates.
Yeah. Well, that's exactly the point.
One other thing that's come up in numerous conversations I've had is that the candidate should be somebody who has dealt with a city that will be the size that we're going to be, mm-hmm. at least. Mm-hmm. You know, that's someone who has either gone through that growth up to that. Or is actually managed either that size or larger. So it's a little bit different dynamic.
Is that it?
Thank you.
Okay, folks, we're adjourned. Thanks very much.
Thank you.